Well, hey there, Jonathan Doyle with you once again for the weekly podcast. Well, it hasn't exactly been weekly. It's been a little bit longer than weekly because I've been doing a lot of traveling. I told myself that I would try and do some recording in the hotels overseas, but I kind of got sidetracked. There was a whole lot to see. I grew up overseas, but I hadn't been back to London for a long time. So there I was, and I kept getting distracted by all the stuff there was to see. So if you're a regular listener to the weekly podcast, my humble apologies. I'll get back to a normal production schedule, but it is good to be back in the studio and to bring you some good stuff. It was a great trip, just amazing to sort of realize that you have this privilege of speaking to people all over the world. And it's a long flight, and it's amazing, you know, just 23 hours on an aircraft, you know, with a quick stop in Dubai, but a really long way. Got to fly up the pointy end of the new A380, which was fantastic. So it's good to be back home. When you've got a young family, no matter how exciting it is to travel, it's always good to get back home. So back in the studio, climbing back on the horse. And as always, when you travel, you sort of have, you know, new experiences and you meet new people and different things cross your path. And there I was, I think it was the night before I was leaving. And I love to read. I'm not a big watcher of TV, as you probably know if you've listened before. And I didn't really want to sit on the aircraft and just watch reruns and movies and stuff. So I make sure that I've got a lot of great stuff to read. And I found a really cool book, and it was, you know, strange how I found it. Isn't it funny, you know, when you're really open and you're looking to grow and you're sort of really putting yourself in a position where you can learn, just how sort of coincidences happen. So I'm sitting in the hotel room and I jump on Google, and I was staying right in the middle of London in Soho, and I just typed in, you know, Soho bookstores. And turns out there's a bookstore probably about, I don't know, 100 meters from where I'm sitting, which I had no idea was there, which also turns out to be the largest bookstore in the United Kingdom. So, and I love books. If you're a regular listener, you know that I am just a huge reader. And one of the great frustrations I have in life is that I wish you could press a pause button and just sort of pause life and time and just get through your reading. Because, you know, if you're like me and you love to read, books pile up pretty fast. So it was really cool to discover that there was this massive bookstore. So there I go. No big agenda. Just want something, you know, that I really would enjoy on the plane. I find when I fly that I'd like to read biographies and stories about people doing amazing stuff. So I wander around and I end up coming across a really amazing book. And I want to share some of it with you today and share the idea that came from it. And it's a great, great book. And it's called The Trident. And it's the story of an amazing guy called Jason Redman, who was a US Navy SEAL, hence the trident is the kind of badge that they wear, and, you know, just an amazing story. So he's a guy that sort of, you know, builds his whole life around making it to the US Navy SEALs. He gets in, and then in the course of fighting, he is horrifically wounded, ends up, they get ambushed, machine guns. And his injuries are quite extraordinary. A large part of his face is shot away completely. And his arm is shattered. And long story short, I guess what it means is his whole life just changes in a second. You know, this horrific injuries, not only the, you know, almost dying, but then this massive process of rehabilitation. And it's a very poignant book. There's moments in it when he, you know, realizes that, you know, there's a really good chance that he may never get back into the, you know, into the SEALs. And it's a real brotherhood. And he mentions that endlessly through the book. It's an incredibly close community. So his whole identity is based there. So not only is there the physical injuries, but there's also the loss of community and identity that's gone with, you know, something that's been so central to his life. So not only is the book that story, I mean, that would be interesting enough in itself, but there is an incredible journey in the book, and it's very, you know, he really is incredibly honest about how at times in his life, how arrogant and how unteachable he was. You know, not a lot of people, when you read this kind of book, you know, you read biographies, if it's an autobiography, people are not often that upfront about their flaws. But one of the great things to read about it, and I really encourage you to get a copy, and I'll put a link to where you can find it under the podcast, is his humility, is his ability to say, you know, I was before this incident, and you know, and he catalogues times when he made mistakes, when he was self-focused, and how his self-focus hurt other people and put people at risk. So you know, that's a great part of the story, and his courage and humility in revealing his journey from somebody who was very self-absorbed into somebody who became increasingly focused on others. But I want to share with you a couple of things from the book that are really powerful and great messages for us, and I hope that they're going to be useful to you. When I read, I often read with a pen, and I just, you know, I try and concentrate, and sometimes just an idea comes, and I grab a pen, and out of all the stuff that I read in this book, I ended up highlighting one particular paragraph. And I want you to listen to it, and it'll be in the transcript eventually, so hopefully you can find it in the transcript, but it just says this. This is from Jason Redman himself. He goes, "Everyone encounters adversity in life. Sometimes it is small, sometimes life-changing. How you handle it starts and ends with you. The measure of a person is not found in his or her past, but in how he or she overcomes adversity and builds the future. Outlook will always determine outcome. From here forward, my past would stay in the rearview mirror." So let's unpack that a little bit. You know, all of us experience adversity, you know, and some of us go through the most horrendous things. You know, some of us face terrible loss, and many people cruise through life with less, you know, and nothing terrible seems to happen. But all of us face adversity. And one of the themes that is so common in all the podcasts I do and my book, you know, is this concept of how we deal with difficulty and failure and, I guess, what Jason's calling adversity. So I think what we do as a culture is we really try and avoid it or anesthetize it. So many times I've said, you've really got to look into your life and look at where you're anesthetizing, I was going to pronounce that properly, anesthetizing your pain. Often, you know, it's culturally sanctioned to sort of deal with your pain through alcohol, through overeating, or what I think is one of the biggest ones is, you know, this massive addiction we have to crap entertainment. You know, our commercial television, I think, is basically horrendous. And I don't know how you're really going to grow in life if you're enmeshed in a lot of the stuff that's on there. I'm going to be direct about that. But it can be a form of addiction, and we just hide in watching other people's lives, or internet addiction, or, you know, news addiction. So often when things are difficult, we've all got a default mechanism that we go to, and we've really got to look at what that is. So the first question really is to ask you, you know, where is the adversity in your life at the moment? You know, where are things difficult? I'm going to ask you that question again. I'm going to pause for a second. Wherever you're listening to this, I want you to think about, you know, what's your personal answer? Where is the adversity in your life at the moment? Now, what I'm going to suggest next is, and I want to do this in my book, is to say, wherever that adversity is growth. It doesn't feel like growth. It doesn't look like growth. You don't want it to be growth. You want to just make it go away. But growth lies in that adversity. So in the book, in my book, I talk about the forge. You know, and I use it. There's a beautiful photograph of a guy working in a blacksmith forge, because adversity and difficulty is like a forge. Heat blows, the blows of adversity, but all that time, that hammering, that, you know, difficult environment is shaping something really useful. And a way to think about that is to think about a time of adversity you've had in your life before. Now, often people say, oh, you know, look back at that time and aren't you grateful for it? You know, to be honest, sometimes no. You know, sometimes we can look back at adversity and say, look, yeah, after 5 years or 10 years, you know what? It still sucked. I look back at it and I just still wish it hadn't happened. But the fact is, there's a good chance that once you come through adversity, you have grown. You don't have to put your hand up and say it was wonderful and I'm going to pretend it was great, because it's not. But you can look back in your life and say, when things were tough, you know, when you went through hard times, you probably really grew as well. So as you think about where that adversity is, it's really worth thinking about what have you learned in that process. So the next thing I want to talk about is just to share with you something, again, from Jason Redman in his recovery. So I want you to picture him, and if you get a copy of your book, you'll see these amazing photographs. But he did something in his recovery that really sort of made international headlines. And it was so interesting what he did that he ended up getting to go to the Oval Office with his kids and his wife and to meet the president because of this particular thing that he did. So what he noticed was that when people came to visit him, a lot of times, you know, because he was quite disfigured, you know, massive amounts of plastic surgery and all sorts of stuff and face shot away. And, you know, you see it in the photographs, but he noticed that people come in and they would adopt this kind of somber mood and they'd be quite shocked. So when he eventually regained control of his hand, he wrote this huge message, which he stuck to the front of his door in his hospital. I want you to listen to what it says. It says, "Attention to all you who enter here. If you're coming into this room with sorrow or to feel sorry for my wounds, go elsewhere. The wounds I received, I got in a job I loved doing it for people I love, supporting the freedom of a country I deeply love. I am incredibly tough and will make a full recovery. What is full? That is the absolute utmost physically my body has the ability to recover. Then I will push that about 20% further through sheer mental tenacity. This room you are about to enter is a room of fun, optimism, and intense rapid regrowth. If you're not prepared for that, go elsewhere. Signed, the management." So that became quite famous and eventually got to meet the president because it was speaking to so many people. And then as you read the book, you discover something else really fascinating was that he noticed that, you know, when he'd be in airports, people would really look at him and stare at him and, you know, would look away and it was really uncomfortable. And for a long time, he was angry. And then long story short, he eventually created a t-shirt range called Wounded Wear. And with these big slogans on the t-shirt that explained the injuries in simple ways. So people would see the t-shirt and think, you know, because they'd look at him and think, oh, he must have got that as a drunk driver or, you know, or he's some kind of thug. Where he was actually, you know, a national hero who'd really served and sacrificed to protect others. So what I'm getting at here is that all this adversity, this tragedy, this pain in his life transferred constantly, well, over time, and he would be the first to admit how hard it was, transferred into creative things, into ways to meet the needs of other people and to reach out to their pain. So the adversity we experience, if we let it, if we do the work of adversity, can actually transform us and be a gift to other people. What I want to finish with on this is often when we're stuck in adversity, we can get really stuck. And I have constantly, and you know, there's things in my life even now where I get stuck. And we just think this is how it is and it's all terrible. And we forget a really simple idea, and that's to be creative. You know, there are so many resources out there, whatever your adversity is, whether it's diet, exercise, work, career, relationships, finances, whatever it is, whatever your adversity is, there are a vast amount of resources and things you can do if you choose to use that word and become creative and just think outside the box. Who do you need to ring? What website should you visit? What appointment with a doctor or a counselor or a psychologist, or what do you need to do to start to address the adversity and pain in your life? Because if you do that, eventually through that forge, through that fire, will come growth for yourself and for others. And again, I want to say it, most people want to run from this. Most people do not want to borrow this sort of stuff. It's much easier to keep eating or keep getting drunk every night or keep watching dumb TV or drifting into other toxic behavior patterns than to face up to what's tough. I'm not being flippant. I'm not blowing this off and saying it's easy because it's really not. It's actually very difficult. But the fact that it's difficult doesn't mean it's impossible. And you take a story like Jason Redman in The Trident, and you see that some people, through sheer mental tenacity and spirit, can take horrific circumstances and transfer them into something extraordinary. And yes, his psychology is different to ours. We're all different, but you can take the message and you can apply it in your own life. So I hope that's been useful to you. Maybe listen to it a couple of times. If you haven't got a copy of my book yet, Bridging the Gap, make sure you grab a copy. It's really cool. I've had some amazing feedback, and it's amazing to see where this book's been ending up and people who've been reading it and you know, saying great things about it. So get yourself a copy of Bridging the Gap. You can get it here on my website if you're listening on the website. If you're on iTunes or somewhere else, come across to jonathandoyle.co. That's jonathandoyle.co. Find a link here, wherever else you're listening. Come and grab a copy of the book. It's really quick read, but there's some simple ideas in there that can be really powerful. So I hope that's useful. Send me an email. Let me know what you think. Jump on iTunes, post a review. If you'd like a topic that you'd like me to address, then just send me an email at jd@choices.com.au. Let me know what you'd like to hear about, and I'll do some work on that for you. But for now, look at the adversity in your life. look at the resources and the creativity you need to transfer it. Don't run or hide from it any longer. Begin to transfer it into something awesome for other people. I'm Jonathan Doyle. I'll be speaking with you again next week.